Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
It's the business of sports brought to you by Security Financial Bank. So we're going to hit up a couple. First, with the NCAA tournament starting yesterday, really kicks into gear tomorrow with all the games. Just how much money does the NCAA tournament make with this? So if we kind of look at the numbers from last year, you're talking about $1 billion, $1.3 billion with this thing. Now, conferences actually do get a share of this. The NCAA distributes a portion of its revenues to member conferences based on how their schools do in the men's basketball tournament. Those payments are determined by, quote, units, which are earned for each game a school plays, not including the national championship. Each of the 132 units up for grabs are worth about $2 million, according to Sportico. Conferences distribute the money, which is paid out over 6 years, to their schools. So if you're kind of looking at it, this was from a website I was looking at where they say, here's where things stand for conferences this year per Front Office Sports, based on how many teams they have in the field and the estimated amount of money they are already guaranteed. Big 12, 8 bids, $16 million. SEC, 8 bids, $16 million. Big 10, 6 bids, $12 million. But as we know, they can go up depending on if they continue to win some games over there. But we know it's a huge moneymaker. And I saw one nugget, too, actually, in terms of betting. There's more actually bet on this tournament with brackets and such than like it was like $15 billion, I think, is money is being thrown out there this time of year in terms of betting and all that. So,
yeah, that's I wonder if it are we ultimately going to hit a high this year with the mainstreaming of betting?
Yeah,
I mean, it was mainstreaming last year, but it's even more mainstreamed this year. Just how and what the ESPN's Fantasy Challenge got revamped this year. How much of a difference that makes, and how much more money ends up being bet? Like I mean, I'm doing one tournament pool for the filing fee of $5. That's it. It's all. And it's the same picks that I made in the here in the sports talk one. That's it. I'm not betting anymore. But I see where the temptation is to do more and more and more and more and more. And it's more open. I mean, my gosh, scrolling through Twitter, I just saw in the past hour how to bet on Caitlin Clark.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even 5 years ago, like I'd be like, all right, who's gonna go to jail because of that? Now, oh, okay. I barely thought twice about it. It's standard to do that. Also, women's tournament betting, I think because of Caitlin Clark, is going to be huge this year. I mean, in some ways, that tournament excites me more than the men's tournament because I know the figures a little bit more. The teams seem to be a little bit more consistent.
I'll be curious to see where the numbers are for the women's tournament because we know this is Caitlin Clark's final one, too.
Right. If she goes to the national championship, for example, I mean, now I don't know that we're going to have like a situation last year where the men's tournament was way down because of the participants.
Right.
And do we end up with like, okay, I'm being very extreme when I say this, but like the College of Charleston versus Oregon. And then if it's Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina, or versus South Carolina, or a rematch from last year with all the drama that LSU has had, but still with all the stars that LSU has had versus Iowa, like that might outrate the men's tournament if the men's game is more of a, well, how did these teams get there?
Mm-hmm.
Which would be understandable. Like an Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark sort of thing is going to be like, whoa.
And we won't get that in a final. They're in the same region.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah, Iowa's a 1 and LSU's a 3 in the same region.
Son of a...
Yeah.
So it's an Elite Eight thing.
Yep.
Best. Gosh.
Could get Iowa at South Carolina, though, so...
Right, and that... Yeah. Which, that makes more sense, obviously. That would be a great game, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, though, how much more money's going to be bet on the women's tournament. I mean, it's going to be higher. I mean, it's going to be an all-time
There's got
to
be prop bets for how much, like, Caitlin Clark's going to score and how many threes and all that. There's got to be stuff like
also,
that.
Also, if by some odd chance Iowa loses very early on, which I know typically that doesn't happen in women's college basketball, usually the top seeds tend to advance pretty well. Mm-hmm. But if that does happen early on, it's even with all the bigger storylines in women's college basketball, that's going to gut a lot of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are paying attention because of her.
Right.
Understandably so.
Absolutely.
But also, the sport is moving in the right direction. I can't remember where it was. Was this a Simmons pod or something like that? Where the trajectory of women's college basketball is where men's college basketball was probably in like the 1980s. Where it's suddenly getting really bigger and in some ways might actually be eclipsing, well, right now definitely is eclipsing its pro equivalent, but that as those stars migrate, obviously, as they get drafted, the WNBA is going to start getting more populated with them.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're going to start having women's college basketball players going early, maybe skipping basketball. This is a long-term thing, 20, 30 years. But at some point, maybe the women's game gets to where the men's game is right now, where the quality of men's college basketball is not that great. And a lot of the players aren't there. They're in the G League Ignite, though I know that could be going away next year because of the NIL, or because of NIL. But we're at a spot, like there's a lot of growth ahead, but it's not necessarily permanent for women's college basketball. The women's basketball is going to get bigger, but women's college basketball might be at the beginning of an arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's an interesting thing to watch over the next really decade or two.
Right. So yeah, a lot of money getting shelled out with college basketball right now, especially.
Oh, yes.
And that's not even talking in consideration with the, well, let's just say the local establishments, right? Where mm-hmm. people come and watch the games and you're probably going to be hanging out for a few hours. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, you know. It's a big money maker all across the board, out just even on a local sense too.
I mean, Milwaukee Burger Company's had their sign up on Claremont for like, what, 2-3 weeks now? It's been up for a while. I first had to double-check the date. I'm like, oh, I know what they mean. Like, this has been promoted for a while on a lot of places because it's a big freaking day to watch a lot of basketball. Just lock in on basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are going to be placing bets on that, too.
Yep.
It's huge. NCAA, though, kind of screwed themselves over with that deal a few years ago. Imagine all the money they could be making.
Right.
I know they locked it in, but they left a lot mm-hmm. on the table.
Switching it up a little bit, but staying with hoops, though. Your Timberwolves, is there a danger to A-Rod not owning your hoops team now?
Maybe,
or not really?
Maybe less a spray tan?
More Glenn Taylor, though?
Okay, so... Would
you rather have A-Rod or Glenn Taylor?
Do I have to choose?
Well, okay. A-Rod's the reason why they're so good this year, right?
Obviously. Gosh, I get this. Okay. So, how do we unpack this? So, Glenn Taylor, yes, this we always have to say, he saved the Timberwolves from moving because they, okay, to be fair, NBA wasn't going to let him go to New Orleans because the Bob Arum group was way too shady. But he did buy the team. He saved him from maybe a more legit option in the mid-90s. Hasn't been that great of an owner, let's be real. Because A-Rod is associated with this, and because A-Rod is, well, let's just say he doesn't have the highest Q rating among sports personalities, it's been ripped. Look, if it's just Mark Lowry, we're not guffawing about the whole thing.
If it's just Mark Lowry, you don't know who the heck Mark Lowry is.
Yeah.
You know,
I had to double-check his pronunciation a few times, and I kind of knew who he was already, but just because I hadn't heard his name, I'd read his name a lot. But A-Rod is A-Rod. Look, I don't think A-Rod's necessarily making all the decisions here either. I think Lowry probably is more. I think for A-Rod, it's more of a prestige thing. Honestly,
I feel like it's going to get done either way.
Well, I mean,
they what, got one payment left they got to do?
They do, but if they don't come up with the money, like a lot of this could actually fall apart.
So do they get reimbursed with all the money?
I think so, because that, okay. Or they'd have a, like a minority stake or something. So something else would have to happen. Look, A-Rod and Mark Lurie want to have majority control, obviously. So if they can't achieve it, they probably sell it off. And, well, the...
Yeah, it says here, Lurie and Rodriguez previously purchased two installments of 20% at $1.5 billion valuation for the franchise. They exercised their rights to buy an additional 40% of the franchise earlier this year. However, Taylor told Minnesota sports reporter David Shama that Rodriguez and Lurie will now need to find a new way to raise money for the final installment, which is due on March 27th.
Yeah. So if they don't do that...
Come on, A-Rod, you don't have enough money.
Apparently not.
I mean, come on, dude.
Well, some of this has to do with that, again, that institutional investment. We're just starting to hear about that with regard to the NFL as well. Private investment firms and everything that gets connected to all of those. It gets really thick trying to untangle a lot of that. So I could see where the NBA is wary of the Carlisle Group getting involved. I know they're already buying, the Seattle Reign, the NWSL. They bought that, but that's obviously a different policy in the NWSL than in the NBA, at least as of now. If they don't get it, if they don't get the Timberwolves and the Lynx, I'm not going to be all that bummed out, honestly, because I've been constantly thinking since they came in on this that, oh gosh, they're totally going to move the team. I know the speculation has been to Seattle because of this whole, A-Rod wants to get back in Seattle's good graces. So no, because the NBA is not going to allow a team to move to Seattle and wipe out the expansion fee that the rest of the owners would get from a new Seattle Supersonics. Mm-hmm. They're not moving to Vegas for the same reason, except for the Super, but there's going to be an expansion team in Vegas. They could make a decent amount of it. I don't know the specific, if they have to move, if they can't finalize the deal, is it a straight up, you get your money back, or do they sell that portion off, which would be more valuable now than when they started? A team with Anthony Edwards is a far more valuable team. I know there was that an ESPN rating, or was this some organization's rating? They did all of these different factors for NBA teams. It's become an annual thing, and the Timberwolves are last in terms of location. And I think a lot of that has to do with it being Minnesota. A lot of players. Yeah, they simply don't want to be there. If you're going to redo the NBA right now, there would be no team in Minnesota or Wisconsin at all. Chicago would get a team because it's Chicago. But there's no freaking way, even with Minnesota being as big of a market as it is, or the Twin Cities, they wouldn't get a team. Because players don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. You'd have five teams in Florida, probably. Two teams in Vegas, probably. But you'd have no team in Minnesota. So that's always going to be a problem. But the value of this particular franchise is going up because of who's playing for the team right now. I also think it buys the franchise more time to get an arena. Because I know Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie are going to ask for a new one. Good luck getting one. There's enough arena/stadium fatigue over there. Even with that state having a surplus, they're still really? Another one? Even though Target Center is one of the oldest ones left, I think. Is it the second oldest right now? I know they just got a big renovation, but it's still the second oldest. They're going to get... But by the time, whether it's Glenn Taylor, who again would never move the team, or someone else, and maybe this gives them more of an opportunity to find someone in Minnesota who also would never move the team, but gives enough time where Target Center gets a little older and you go, okay, now it's an appropriate time to build a new place. And maybe that's what it brings. But I do think this lessens the likelihood of the Timberwolves moving anytime soon. I still don't know exactly where they would go, and I think that's highly doubtful anyway, but now it's almost impossible in the near future. Mm-hmm. So if it falls through, I don't think I mind it. Understanding that, yeah, there's always that, well, who could it be then? But I've always been I've been leery of this whole thing.
Huh?
And so I might be okay with this not coming to fruition. But then again, maybe they find the money and it's all a moot point.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, they got 7 days?
Yeah.
A week from today. So
don't bet on anything, guys. Just don't.
All right.
Don't bet on the tournament.